Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
There is liberty. There is freedom. There is transformation. And Lord, we just ask that today. And I just urge you today, if you're in the room today, if you want to go out of this place different today, just set your hearts on Him right now. If you want to go out of here and do something different than what you've been doing, in the light of your Heavenly Father, make a decision right now. Don't wait until the end of service to make a decision. Make a decision right now. And if you make a decision right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to equip you and empower you, give you the grace to be able to achieve that decision that you make today. And Lord, we thank you, God, for your word, that it is faithful. We thank you, Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Say hi to somebody as you grab a seat. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start there today. Before we do, though, just one of the most incredible things we can do in our relationship with God. And baptism is a decision that we make. Just like when we make a decision for Jesus, baptism is a part of that next step in that decision process. And baptism, you know, when we are baptized, we go down, we are fully submerged in that water, we come back up, and the Bible talks about we become up a new person. We leave the old man, and we become new. And there's so much power in that. It's also a public display of your faith. It's letting the world know, I choose him. I choose him. And if you're ever wondering, like, I don't know if baptism is important, or I don't know what it's about, or maybe you've been baptized in the past and you didn't really know what it was all about, you can always come to the baptism class and learn more. And we don't take a long time. It's about 15 or 20 minutes. And today I'm going to talk about a few things, then I'm going to give you some stuff to chew on, all right, this week. And so anybody's welcome to come to that. If you're unsure, you want to, whatever that may be, it's a great opportunity to learn about that. So do that. And then also I wanted to just talk for just a moment about what we've been talking about with the upgrade to our online presence, what that means, what that's all about. And Pastor Mercedes was just really feeling led by the Holy Spirit just to, for lack of better words, up our game online, because it is a resource that we can use to declare the word of God and to advance the kingdom of God. And that's what we want to use it as. We want to do that. And so really what that looks like is we're going to upgrade some technology. And there's always technology, right? There's always something new that you can get. But we want not only your support when we talk about partnering with us financially, but also support in prayer, right? Because we want to make a wise decision in what we choose. And so we have some really cool connections to some local churches here, specifically Lord of Hosts, that's going to help, because their online presence is awesome. And they're going to help us with figuring out a few things, which is a huge blessing. So we're going to talk with them. But also we're going to allow the Holy Spirit just to lead us, to guide us on, hey, what do we do? What do we purchase? And the Holy Spirit has always led us in the direction to, it's nice to be able to know that what we're purchasing will work with everything that we've already purchased, right? That's a good thing, all right? And so we want to continue that trend. We want to be good stewards of what God has given us. And when we look at an online presence that's, you know, social media, it's what we're doing during the week, and it's also what we're doing on a Sunday morning, sharing our live stream and making it something that is something that's accessible to anybody around the world. Isn't that incredible that we can be preaching in Omaha, Nebraska, and someone across the world can be hearing the message of Jesus Christ for the first time? That's wild. I mean, that's incredible. And so we want to use that. We believe that the Holy Spirit has led us to that. So again, just pray about that. Pray about what that partnership looks like. It may be a financial. It may not be. That's okay. But also, one of the most important things is just begin to pray into that. We believe that that's something that God wants us to do and take that next step and what that looks like. We want to yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right, cool. If you have any questions or you want to know anything about that, you can always talk to me. That's always cool. All right, I'll share what we're thinking, some of the technology things. And also, with that, there'll be new spots available for people to volunteer and help, because you can't just do that with one person. All right, you need some help. All right, so we want that as well. So that might be something else as you're praying. Well, in Genesis chapter 1, it's the first book of the Bible. A lot of people have read Genesis 1, right? If you ever, you know, there's a lot of people, you give your life to Jesus, and where do you start in the Bible? The first page, right? So you start in Genesis 1, and this is a pretty important moment, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let's go there. And it says, so God created human beings, that's us, in his own image. Praise the Lord. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And what a powerful statement. What a blessing that we are created, we are made in the image of God. And as I was praying over today's message, the Holy Spirit just kept bringing a specific thing to mind, and that is for us in the room watching online. I think that most of us, whether it's right now or different times in our life or maybe later in the future, may struggle with the fact of feeling like we are counterfeit. And that is a specific word that I felt the Holy Spirit bring, is this feeling that we are counterfeit. This feeling that we are counterfeit. And I looked up the definition of counterfeit. It means to forge, to copy or imitate. This is important. Without authority or right. And there's more to that, and we'll get to that, but specifically in this room, the reason that I started today with Genesis 1:27 is I want you to know and understand you have every right, every authority when you make a decision for Jesus Christ to reflect who he is completely. To walk into a room, life to Jesus, and you walk in that, you cannot walk in anything that is counterfeit of that, all right? God has given to you all authority, it says in the Word of God. And so we're going to speak specifically to that today. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal, because how many of you know that that whole concept of feeling counterfeit has a lot of layers to it? There are certain aspects of our life. We give our life to Jesus, and there are certain things that, boom, it just clicks, right? Have you experienced that? There are certain things that you're like, man, I just feel really sure about God in my life in this part of my life. But there are other things where, like, I don't know about that. I have, if you've heard me use this analogy, I've used this analogy before, but the concept of your heart, your life as like a house. And when we make a decision for Jesus, we allow him in. And sometimes we allow him in just on the entry area of our house, right? And we have a little bench right there, and we say, boom, there's your seat, Jesus. And then the rest of the house, like, whoa, that's off limits. You know what I mean? Like, no, you don't get a chance. Or we let him in. We let him in the kitchen, the living room, the dining room. We even let him in the spare bedroom, right? But there's this one. We all have that bedroom in our house, like right now, or a closet, you know what I'm talking about? Where when somebody comes to your house, you're like, don't open that. Because if they open it up, like 70,000 things will fall out. You know, you stuffed everything in there, you know, to make sure the house looked good. You know, Charity and I, this week we're, hey, everybody, including us, you know, we were organizing. It's our spare room for us. Like, it's like the room where we're cleaning, and I'm definitely most to blame. Because I tend to be, when I clean, and I enjoy cleaning, I tend to, like, if it doesn't belong in this room, where does it belong? If it doesn't have a home, its home is the spare bedroom. You know what I'm talking about? And God bless Charity for being so patient with me. And so the spare bedroom, though, then becomes this growing amoeba, right, of, like, stuff. And it becomes enough to the point where now you're opening up the door and you're hitting things, right? As you try to open up the door to throw things in there. And that's the moment, you know, where you're like, okay, something needs to happen, all right? And so something needed to happen Saturday morning. And so I started working in there while Charity was gone. In particular, I was like, she's going to go for a little while. I'm going to make sure. And I got in there, and she had done tons of work to set all of this organization, right? So it actually was really fast and really simple because she did so much work about that, which was great. So, but again, I think in our lives, in our relationship with God, we have to recognize that when there isn't something that we're sharing with him, we're not allowing him access in, there is a part of us that does, it's the spare bedroom is always, I'm aware of it always. You know what I mean? When I go in our house, it may be out of sight, but it's not out of mind. We're still aware of it. In our relationship with God, there are things that, especially as we progress in our relationship with God, we allow him to come deeper. There are things maybe that we aren't fully aware of, but praise the Lord that his Holy Spirit is aware of. And the more we align with this Holy Spirit, there are things we're like, oh man, I didn't even know that was there. I did not even know that part I had not given him access to. I didn't know that I locked the door and said, no, you don't get to go there. And so when I talk about this fact that for us it has layers, that there's progression in our relationship with Jesus, when that happens, we have a choice to make. And many of us, if not all of us in the room, have come to that point where the Holy Spirit will reveal something in our lives that's not of him, that needs to change. And it is that moment that a decision is made. And the decision is either I'm going to change this and align myself with God, or I'm going to close the door and not allow him in. And I will submit to you today that when you close that door, a lot of those feelings of counterfeit begin to come in. And we've all made that decision before. Let's just be honest. Like, we're all people. We're imperfect. We've all made a decision where Jesus is like, you can't do this anymore. We're like, yeah, but I'm going to. You know, I'm going to do it, though. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it knowing that I'm not supposed to do it, that I shouldn't be doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And in that, even when we receive freedom from that and we come to that point and we say, hey, I'm sorry, I kept doing it, and we allow God in, he brings forgiveness. And the Bible's amazing. It speaks of God's forgiveness. It's like he never even knew it was there. Our human minds cannot comprehend that. You will never comprehend that. It's impossible for us because we always remember. Right? Human beings, something you do wrong to us, and we're like, I forgive you. And we move on. Some people don't. But maybe we move on, but it's still in the back of our mind. God, when he forgives, it's like it was never there. Erased. And it's hard for us to understand that. And with that comes forgiveness and mercy and grace for our lives. But the devil, a very real enemy, will try to poke at that. Like, oh no. Don't try to act like that's over. And that's when the real feelings of counterfeit come in. We're like, man, I'm not good enough. I'm counterfeit. I cannot be what God has called me to be. There's no way because of what I did wrong. For some of us in the room, it's, well, I did actually just do that yesterday. The thing that I said I would never do again. The thing that I said, I opened up the door to God and let him in and he changed. And then yesterday, I don't know if you're, I did it again. Or a week ago, I closed the door. The door had been open and I closed the door. And it's hard for us to say, man, in a moment, God can let go of all that and we can move forward. It's hard for us to understand. Is it hard for anybody else to understand that? Maybe that's just me, but I think for all of us, there's a challenge there. And God wants to free us of condemnation. Our Heavenly Father did not send Jesus to the earth to condemn the world. He sent Jesus, it says in John 3:17, not to condemn the world, but that all men, all people might be saved. What an incredible statement, because most of us think of Jesus as God, as, up in heaven. In the world today, maybe not us in this room, but a lot of people in the world, they think of God as up in heaven and he's just like ready to throw down some lightning bolt. Whoosh, bam. He's up there with a giant magnifying glass and we're his ants. No, that's not how it is at all. His love for us was there before the foundations of the earth. The redemption of Jesus Christ was there at the foundations of the earth. A choice, a free will given to us because God didn't want a bunch of robots. And so he created us in his image so that when he looked at us, he saw pieces of who he was. And it stirred something inside of him. And his love for us. He yearned to have a relationship since the beginning of time, before the foundations of the earth. It was already in motion. And you might wonder, like, man, why are you just talking about that? Because it's a very real thing. Because all of us, we deal at moments with identity. Who we are in Jesus Christ. And I have been challenged in the last 2-3 weeks as Pastor Mercedes has been bringing this message, because I'm like, man, that is awesome. And I don't know about you, but there has been moments after moments where I'm like, yeah, that's awesome, but is that really like that? Like, God wants to take care of me. Yeah, he wants to do things, but is that what she's talking about? Could that be for me? And the answer is absolutely. 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 God has a harvest for you and I. And praise the Lord, I love that harvest, it's way bigger than just you and I. And it is important to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. That he wants that for you, that when he looks at you, he loves you. When he looks at you, he's not mad at you. When he looks at you, he's not like, missed it by that much. No, He looks at you, he's like, man, that's my kid. I'm so, so proud of them. I love them so much, more than they'll ever know. All right, let's move on to Colossians chapter 3, if you got your Bible. There's a lot we could look at in Colossians chapter 3. I will tell you that right now. We're going to look at specifically at verse 10. It says, put on your new nature. Now, the version I'm reading is the New Living Translation. It says, put on your new nature. Now, it might say in your Bible, put on your new man or new something. I will tell you right now, this in the original translation, it just says, put on your new. Come on, somebody. You can just let that get in for a minute. The word new there, it literally, I'm going to read this. This is powerful. It is in the sense of sinking into a garment. To invest with clothing. To array, clothe, and do, and put on. And I love that. I think that's powerful. Put on the new. Put on the new. Put on the new. Put on the new. And it says, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Praise the Lord. We just pack up and go home, y'all. All right? You know what I mean? Like, you read a scripture and you're like, is that like everything? Do you ever read a scripture and you're just like, bam, that's got it all? That verse has so much in it. And I love it. It says renewed. Be renewed. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Praise the Lord. What does renew mean? Renew me there is to renovate. Now, you know, y'all know I'm a contractor. I do a lot of construction work. And renovation is a beautiful thing. Anybody ever seen a newly renovated house? Even if you don't like the decor, you know, you're like, You walk in and it has a new smell. You know what I'm talking about? My parents they've lived in the home that they live in right now since I was 2 and 3 years old, I believe. 37 plus years. And they are moving into their new home in about 3 weeks. And so we are working on it right now. It's very exciting. And so we're working on it. They're going to, you know, we're painting this week. We're going to be putting, you know, they're going to put new flooring in, new carpet. Anybody like new carpet smell? Oh, come on, somebody. Let's talk about that new carpet smell. You know, you put a new carpet. And you're like, hey, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you walk into a house that has old carpet, and you're like, hey, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? But you walk into a house that has new carpet, and you're like, something's going on in here that I like, you know? And so, you know, we tore up all the carpet. I say we. My brother did that. You know, pray, God bless him, all right? And my dad painted all of the subfloor, all right? Why? To make sure there's only one scent in the house, right? And that is Scott and Lori Kerr's scent. You know what I'm talking about? And so then they'll come in and put new carpet. It's going to smell great. I cannot wait. Like, I will be the guy, the new carpet comes in. I'm just going to, like, I'm going to get in there right when it's done and just lay on it. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway. A new car. Anybody ever gotten a brand new car? You get in the brand new car and it's just like, that new car. They have a new car scent air freshener. That's a joke. What? I don't even know. Like, that does not smell like a new car at all. You know what I'm talking about? But I put that in there, and I was like, the first time, because I didn't have a new car when I was, my first car was, you know, a 1991 Nissan Sentra. It smelled like a firecracker once it went over 60 miles per hour. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I remember getting a new car air freshener, and I put it in there. I was like, is that what it smells like? That's a little strong, you know? I remember sitting in a real new car, and I was like, wow, That is a good smell. I get it. You know, that is good. That's a good, good smell. And there's something special when you renovate something in a good way. You walk in, it doesn't matter what it smelled like before. When you walk in, if it's done right, it smells new. And it's awesome. It's a pleasing aroma. And it's not just pleasing to you, it's pleasing to everybody that experiences it. Come on, somebody. And I love that about the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Because it doesn't matter who you were before. It doesn't matter what you were literally five minutes ago, all right? If you thought, man, this Brandon guy is really annoying, that was a sin. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Whatever it was, like if there was something that even 5 minutes ago that you did, that you messed up, but then 5 minutes later you made a choice that, man, that was wrong, God. And in your heart you said, God, forgive me, make me new. Guess what he'll do? That's exactly what he will do. That's exactly what he'll do. And he'll come in and he'll rip up all the old carpet and he'll put brand new carpet in an instant. And be like, wow, that's awesome. That's beautiful. There does have to be a point where we recognize the beauty of what God is doing in us. Did you hear that today? Because sometimes we can mistake this humility with not recognizing what God has done. Do you get that today? Now you don't have to be arrogant about it in the form of where it gets about all about you, but you can get very proud of who God has made you, what he's done in you, what he's doing inside of you. That's an incredible thing. It's a miraculous thing. Only God can do that. There's nothing, nowhere else will you ever find that. It's a thing that separates every other religion in the world from Christianity, because when you have a true relationship with God, the change that he brings, only he can bring. That's a miracle when that happens. It's supernatural what happens in that. So it says, put on, verse 10, Colossians 3, put on your new nature, be renewed. Renovated, right? Renovated. Making new. It also means making new in freshness and regeneration. The word there is literally, the Greek word, it's a two-part word. It means in the midst of freshness and regeneration. There's two words. One of them is in the midst of. The other word is freshness, regeneration, or that word renovation. Two different things coming together. Isn't that beautiful? It's that word renew. It says, be renewed as you what? Learn to know your creator or become like him. The closer you come to who God is, the more renewing will take place in your life. For me, that's great news. That means that it's endless. Praise the Lord. Do you ever have a revelation of Jesus and you're just like blown away? You're like, that's awesome. You know, you're just floored. You can't wait to share it with somebody. Like, dude, listen to this. It's crazy. All right? You can have that forever. Every day. All the time. As much as you want. That's the key, right? As much as you want, which means that you have to make a choice. As a pastor, some people might think this, I know not in the room, but I'm not like, because of that, I'm not given like 400 gift cards to heaven or to Jesus Christ's revelation knowledge, and I get to give out those out to you, right? Where you come up and I just give it to you and bam, you got it. That's not how it works. There are people in the world that think that. It's interesting, right? Like I meet somebody, like, what do you do? Well, I work for my church. They're like, so you're a pastor? And I'm like, yes, I am a pastor. And they're like, hmm. And I'm like, the wheels start churning a little bit in their head. And some people do believe that. But the reality is what? True revelation comes from who? God. The Holy Spirit. How do you receive that? By making a choice to receive it. That's why when we started today, the Holy Spirit was moving in that moment. He's like, just make a decision right now to receive that. Right now, and as it comes, boom, it will hit you in a new way. So be renewed. Be in the midst of freshness and regeneration. Does that sound like a good state to be in? Does it sound like it would be a good state to be in the rest of your life in the midst of freshness and regeneration? Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? Does it sound joyful? Yeah. Yeah. People ever ask you, like, man, why are you just so happy all the time? I'm more than happy. I'm actually joyful. I'm actually full of joy. I'm in a state of freshness and regeneration. I can't help but be joyful. Does it mean that everything around me is just perfect? No. Tough things happen to me, just like any of us. But it's the joy of the Lord, understanding that He is moving no matter what. That I am in the midst of freshness and regeneration in my life every day. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, let's start in verse 7. It says this, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. So if you read about Moses, he would go into the tent of meeting. He would come out, his face would literally be shining. And it was too much that he had to wear a veil. And even with the veil on, there was like, he was bright. That's wild to think about. And it's crazy because it says, even it was still fading. The glory of God. Okay. Verse 8. Shouldn't we expect... If you read something like that in the Bible, it means you should. Okay, right. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, the law brings condemnation, if that was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? What's the new way? Jesus Christ. Verse 10, in fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Praise the Lord. Since the new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. That verse is really important with what we're talking about today. What's the new way? It's Jesus Christ. It's also the Holy Spirit. It speaks of that just a few verses back. The power, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gives us confidence to be bold. So if you're struggling with this feeling of like, I'm just counterfeit, I'm a fake, God can't use me, all of those things. This is a key scripture for you today. This is key. The new way gives you confidence and makes you bold. Verse 13, we are not like Moses, who put a veil over our face so that people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. Whoa. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. What are we talking about? We're talking about condemnation, the law. you and I, we can never be perfect on our own. That's never going to happen, all right? Try as you might, you're never going to, the best person in the world, in the history of mankind, was still not perfect. The only one perfect was Jesus Christ. You're never going to be perfect, okay? Yes, it says in verse 15, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with the veil, and they do not understand. Verse 16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That's crazy. So it says, but whenever someone goes to church for 14 years and reads through the Bible cover to cover 17 times, and let's see here, oh, and bows their knees and shaves their head, got it. That's so weird. It doesn't say any of that kind of stuff. Oh, wait a minute. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, and some of us even right now, we're like, nah. It's got to be way more complicated than that. And that's what religion will teach you. That's exactly what we're, and if you pursue religion, that's what you'll learn. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Many translations, where there is liberty. One of the main scriptures our church was founded on. And I love that word, freedom, liberty. It also means transformation. Because true liberty, that's what it brings, right? True liberty brings freedom. It brings transformation in our lives. Amen? In verse 18, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see, and this is huge, and reflect the glory of the Lord. That's so important. Maybe a lot of you did this, but this morning I was looking in a mirror when I was getting ready. Anybody ever looked in a mirror before? And what do you see? Your reflection. In the kingdom of God, this is huge. This is a spiritual, monumental thing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we look into the mirror, we see Jesus. We reflect Him. We reflect Him. And many times we look in the mirror and we're like, we just see everything that's wrong with us. We see the imperfections, the mess ups, the thing we did, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, the thing that we just can't get rid of, the thing that we just can't. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we turn to Jesus, that veil should be taken away so that now it's like we see who we really are. And who are we? Well, it says in Genesis 1, 27, the first book of the Bible, that we were made what? In the image of God. And this reminds us again that that veil can be removed so we can reflect the glory of God. That is incredible. We're reflecting who God is. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So there's this continual thing that's happening. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it's like this word counterfeit, I'm like, man, just almost wrestling with that, because I think when we hear that, we all can, in some form or fashion, identify with that in different ways, in different layers. And I'll be really honest, in my own relationship with God, I'm like, man, that's just like so simple. Like, I should be past, you ever feel like there's certain things in your relationship with God, you're like, I should be past this, right? Like, I should have been over this, like, a long time ago. But praise the Lord. That's not the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me today? Praise the Lord that he is patient with us and loves us enough to say, hey, I just want to remind you today, when I look at you, I don't look at you as a counterfeit piece of property. I look at you as my child, as royalty, as someone that I have created. Before you were ever in your mother's womb, I created you. I put things that inside of you, talents and gifts and things that would blow the world away. That when you came into the world couldn't handle it. In fact, the enemy, the devil, when he looks at you, he's going to freak out. He's going to freak out so much because he'll be like, that is very familiar. Because I will make you in the image of me. How powerful is that? So when you are birthed into this world, you are an instant threat to the enemy. Isn't that awesome? Instant threat. And the enemy will constantly be throwing what at you? He will be throwing constantly a counterfeit version of who God is. Because what is counterfeit? I'll read the definition. To forge, to copy, or imitate without authority or right. And the next part that I didn't share earlier, and with a view to deceive or defraud that which is original or genuine. And that is what the enemy does. He always has. He's not smart. He's an idiot. He does the same thing over and over again. In fact, he's so dumb, he takes the thing that God has made and he says, well, I guess I'll just try to take that and reuse it and make it something else to pull them away from the truth. And that's what he does. What's fear? It's faith in the wrong direction. It's just a counterfeit version. What's a lie? It's the opposite of a truth. It's a counterfeit version of the truth. Who is Satan? He's a complete counterfeit. The Bible says that he walks around like a roaring lion. You might as well say a counterfeit version of a lion, right? He walks around like a counterfeit all the time. That's who he is. He's cloaked in it. He can't get rid of it. He's cloaked in it. And every time that we embrace the image of God that has been placed into us, we remind Satan of that. You're a counterfeit. You always will be. And it terrifies him. He's like, man, they're right. And there's power in that. There's strength in that. There's the word we read, there's a boldness that comes with that. And I want to remind you today that you are not counterfeit when you choose Jesus Christ. When you choose Jesus, you no longer have to walk around feeling like you're a fake, that you're a poser, that you're an imposter. Walking around like you're something that you're not, you can walk around knowing that God has made you. And if God made you, the perfecter of the universe, how many of you know he did an amazing job? So just take a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. And wherever you're at today in this, there's freedom for you. Whether you walked in here not knowing who Jesus was or wrestling with who Jesus was, whether you came in here with a strong revelation of who Jesus is in your life. Again, there are these levels, these layers, and I'm going to go back to that picture of that house where there's certain, you know, places that we've allowed God in. And God really, he wants access to the rest of the house. He wants to come in. He wants to renovate. He wants to put that new carpet in. He wants it to permeate with freshness. It's his desire today. For some of us in the room today, he wants to remind you too that in renovation, add-ons can occur. The Bible says, as we believe in him, that he will expand. He will expand the boundary lines of our tent. So some of you are experiencing that right now, the expansion and the widening, a new space that has never been there before. Because if he's going to bring that harvest, there's going to need to be new space. There's going to need to be an adding, a capacity that you haven't been able to reach in your life that he's going to put in there. Some of you are like, there's just no way, I just can't handle something else right now. And you're absolutely right. You can't. But the Holy Spirit can expand you. Expand so that you can. He can make a way. He can make space in your life today. I want you to just hear that today, the word of the Holy Spirit in your life, that he can expand that today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. And if you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus, you want to know Jesus, you want to start that. And again, back to that, and you're just going to, today, you're going to open up the door and let him into the house today for the first time. If that's you in the room, just lift up your hand and say, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make fun of you in any sort of way. But we've all had that moment in our life where it was that first decision we had to make, that, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to open up the door and let him in. And that's a decision only you can make. No one else can make for you. And it's the decision in your heart that says, I'm going to make you the number one thing. I'm going to follow you. If you're in the room today and you want that today, just simply lift up your hand and say, that's me today. Anybody in the room today? All right. And we may have some people online. I can't see their hands. So we're going to say this prayer anyway. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And if you're in the room, a believer, just say this prayer just to encourage the people around you. And remember, it's not the words as much as the words aligning with your heart decision that brings about the change in your life. So let's just say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. So Lord, right now, I invite you into my life to become the number one thing. And right now, I say, you're the biggest priority in my life. I lay everything aside for you. I ask right now that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would help me turn and run towards you, run towards what you called me to do. I thank you that you sent your son to die for me, a death that I deserved. And I thank you that today I'm brand new. I thank you that today I open the door. I let you in to every part. Change me, rearrange me, do whatever you got to do. Because now and forever, I live for you. If you said that, say amen today. Amen, amen. Now for just a moment in this place, we started today's message with this praying that to make a decision that when you leave this place, you're going to do something different. than when you came in here. And so I'm just here as a friendly reminder to remind you of that. If you made that prayer this morning as we started, I want to encourage you to do that. And how do you do that? Well, one of the greatest things I think that you could do, and I just saw this, I was literally in the office this morning, I was just praying, and we have these mirrors, these three circle mirrors on the wall. And I just turned and I saw my reflection, and it just hit me, the reflection. And for some of us, this might even be really challenging to do, okay? If it's challenging, then I would really lean into it. But I want you, every time you're in front of a mirror, I want you to think about this moment right now. And I want you to be reminded today the reflection that you hold, that you are reflecting the perfecter of the universe. The one that created everything. That has power over everything. That is absent. Hear this today. Is absent of sin. He is absent of fear. He is absent of lies. He can't be anything but faithful. He always keeps his promises. So you're catching this today, right? Because if you start to see that, you'll begin to see, like, there's nothing that I'm dealing with that in that moment there is not an answer to. Because if I reflect my Heavenly Father and He is all of those things, then I can reflect the same things. I can be the same things. So for whatever it may be, if you look in the mirror and you see addiction, I just want to remind you today that if you reflect your Heavenly Father, He is not, He can't. He is not addiction. If you look in the mirror and you see pain, I just want to remind you today that He is not pain. If you see sickness, He is life. And I truly believe that as you do that, if you really start to lean into that, something supernatural will happen. Because what are you doing? You're reminding your flesh, your human nature, that you've cast it away. That you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the power of that, it will change your life. Amen? That's something you can take with you, right? So in just a moment, we're going to just officially dismiss. We're going to play a song and just worship to it. You can stick around if you want and worship to that song. Let's do a new thing coming, Luke. We'll do that one. But we'll play a song. We're just going to sing to it. If you want prayer today, come down front. I'd love to pray for you. Pastor Deborah would love to. Pastor Charity's here. We'd love to pray for you. If you want healing in your body, our God is the God that heals. All the time. He is an absent of healing in this room today. He wants to heal you today. We'd love to pray for you for healing in your body. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, come down and talk to us. We'd love to give you some next steps, give you a Bible, give you some stuff to pursue. If you're interested in baptism, when the song is done, I'm going to go down there and we'll talk about baptism and what that's all about. If you gave your life to Jesus today, that's a great next step. So get in that baptism class. We'll talk about that. And be here next week as we, this is Sunday mornings is more than to come and feel good. It's to celebrate also what God has done throughout the week. And if you want to celebrate what God has done throughout the week, then you lean into what He's teaching you and telling you to do right now, and you do it throughout the week. And you will not be absent of testimony. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and play that song.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.